The John Schneider Show on Wyman and Bob. Every Thursday until draft day with Seahawks President of Football Operations, John Schneider.
Has John ever heard his open?
No. I don't think he's going to this year. He's just a little bit busy.
Yeah, he's here. Not that he's not busy doing other things. He's, I'm sure, making deals, talking to agents. Who knows what he's doing? But we are here at the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. It's Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710, awaiting the arrival of John Schneider for the John Schneider Show here.
You know what I look like right now?
What do you look
like? I look like Hoover when I'm making his dinner.
Getting excited.
Yeah, and I'm like looking, is that it?
We're all watching Taylor to see his reaction to the door opening. We're in our little room, so we can't see who's walking into the facility. But I would imagine John will be showing up here momentarily, and we'll talk to him about what's going on with the Seahawks roster, his take on the combine as he was out there. Obviously, the coaching staff was not. Just get a sense of what's happening with this team. So
yeah, and please text in, ask him who they're going to draft, and so we can just
here we go.
Look, I didn't know it was such a dangerous job.
We got John Schneider walking in.
I'm so worried he's going to trip right now.
Yeah, he's got a boot on for some reason,
and he just stepped on my toe.
Really. Let's get him potted up here. Which one was that one, Dave? Is that two?
Two.
All
yep.
Right. Yeah.
How you doing, buddy?
We're just going to do this on the air.
How's it going?
Good.
Are you good? All right. Yeah. Before we get into the football talk, what's going on with the leg? What happened?
So usually when I dunk, I go off my right foot. And I was in a pickup game the other night, and then I just, I went off my left and then partially tore my Achilles. So I had to get a PRP injection. And then
did you?
Wasn't able to get two hands dunk, but I got the one
like
down.
You normally do.
Yeah,
I'm normally your windmill dunk.
No, I'm not going to tell you what happened ever.
All right.
Yep.
Good.
Sorry.
Are you okay?
Yeah. I'll be out of it by Monday, I think. So.
Okay.
Yeah,
good deal.
He's already withholding information on us.
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with football.
There's good news and bad news, right? The Achilles feels great, but the hips in the back are all jacked up now. I was walking around like this for a week. Yeah, so.
Once you get to be 50, I was telling that story about how I was trying to jump up and get the baseball out of the net. Edgars.
T-Mobile.
I went out there and I jumped. This is at age 50, and it felt like somebody tackled me. It felt like somebody tackled me around the leg. So that's what happens, bro. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It was, last week was weird. I'm glad to see you guys in person because I had a fellow employee that was helping me out get on the call on time.
Yeah.
And sitting right across from me at this bed. And, we were just looking at each other the whole time. And I'm like, I kept losing my train of thought. And I was thinking, he's kind of like, hey, we got to get going.
Would you rather be staring straight across at Pearson?
Yeah.
Does that make you feel
better? No, that doesn't. I just like talking to you. It's a lot better. And I lost my train of thought because we were talking about preparing for players that could fall.
Yeah.
And Dave reminded me about Aaron Rodgers. So we were in Green Bay. He was supposed to be the first pick. And we picked him at 24. But
yeah, that was the Alex Smith.
Yeah, that was the preparation one because I lost my train of thought a couple times there.
Yeah,
I'm sure you could tell.
No, never. You were spot on.
We know how busy you are.
Yeah. Sure. You got a lot happening, and obviously there's been a lot happening with the roster with the release of Jamal, Quandre, and Will Dissly. I assume those are conversations you start having at the end of the season. Once you got the coaching staff in here, you start evaluating the roster. How much when those moves are made? Is it you saying, listen, Mike, you form this roster how you see fit? Or do you say, hey, here's what I see with these guys. Here's my opinion. This guy works. This guy doesn't. How does it come to the point of, all right, this person stays and this person somebody we're going to move on from?
Yeah, it's a combination of the coaching staff, how they feel about things. But honestly, with this situation is more about, what free agency looks like, how we prepared, in setting this up as we come around the corner here into free agency. And so, to be able to have those guys' opinions on these players obviously is very important. We haven't shut the door on any of them to come back. But, when you do these when you do these contracts and, you try to create cap room, there's ramifications. It's definitely, it's a credit card situation. Eventually you got to pay the bills, and if you want to keep moving forward, you have to address that. And unfortunately, you get in a situation where guys have high cap numbers, and either you can deal with it and try to work with it, or you can't, and you just decide to move forward and see what the rest of the offseason is going to look like.
I think one of the more aggravating texts we get is that Jamal Adams got paid and then he just shut it down and he wasn't this and that.
Yeah, I would vehemently disagree with that.
That guy just loved football, right?
Yeah, I'm getting a little tired of the trade portion too, because, you know, it was a COVID year. We were picking like 20 whatever, and, you know, we gave up, in order to go from wherever we were at 20 to get up to pick a guy like Jamal was picked in the top five. You got to give another first-round pick the next year. He came in here. Our coach did a great job with him. He had 9.5 sacks, goes to the Pro Bowl, completely disruptive, comes back the next year. He's having a good season, gets hurt. Then he gets hurt again, like really, really bad injury. So I feel bad for him now. Are there things that he would like to – you know, that we would like to have handled differently with him? Yes. Are there things that I'm sure he would like to have handled differently? Absolutely. But, that narrative is, not cool.
Yeah, it isn't. Yeah.
Do you feel like is there a deadline to make these moves? Like, hey, we want to give anybody that we release an opportunity to latch on somewhere else. So do you set a personal deadline? Like, anybody we're thinking of making this move with, we want to do it by X date?
Yes, absolutely. So, with this and Jamal, Diggs, Brian. I mean, those guys. Like, you want them to get into free agency as quickly as you possibly can. You know, we wanted to come back here, kind of regroup with the coaches after the last week was the first week they were together all week, and so we want to go down to the combine, give them time to get together, put their processes in, and then have time to spend, watching our team and what it looks like, and a little bit of free agency as well, and then come back and sit down with them, and then be able to say, okay. You guys good? This is what it's going to look like, and here we go. We're going to start moving forward, and we've had those meetings, throughout the week this week as well.
Hey, every year you probably pick something up different at the combine. You learn something, and I know you keep extensive notes and things like that. What'd you learn this year?
Anything? Where do you start?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, well, when I was losing my train of thought with you guys, because right when we had just left a meeting with one of our free agents representatives, and they were like, hey, you got to get on that call. I was like, oh, yeah, we got to do that for God. And so I sat down, and I was like, the whole time we started talking, I was thinking, like, well, that was a lot more expensive than I thought it was going to be. So I kept going back to this previous conversation, and you guys were asking me questions, and I was like, looking out the window. It's like, well, I'm sorry, what was that? Yeah, I was like, okay.
That number
anyway,
three for
but
a
yeah,
loop, huh?
No, but just, that's part of it. You're trying to figure out, what these guys are looking for, and then what other teams are, interested in trading for, and or, who they're looking to trade on their, on their own team, and having those conversations. It's really become a 4TV event, so the workouts are very long and spaced out differently now. Jeff Foster does a great job running it. It's just it's a long week. I think I told you it's really about, the early week is like all the league stuff. And it's kind of league meetings getting set up for the owners meetings in a couple weeks, and trying to get prepared for that with the competition committees going to be working on, and rules proposals, and then the CEC stuff, and then I have a wonderful afternoon with Dave, and we do media stuff.
Who doesn't have a wonderful afternoon with Dave? Come on.
He's fun. Friendly and fun. And so, and then we get into, again, it's like, these agent meetings, one-offs, meeting people here and there. So to say, what did you learn? We learned a lot. So we come back and we basically kind of, look at our free agent board, go through like, okay, well, we can't afford that guy, can't afford that guy. We may be able to afford this guy, this guy, this guy. And you kind of try to, it's a lot of agent meetings. I mean, it's a lot. So, these guys are down there working their tails off for their clients.
Yeah, that's funny. Nobody ever thinks about like the agent connections and things like that. It's more about the workouts and stuff like that. But you were talking about how you and Mike McDonald know a lot of the same people. And has that been the case, as he's filling out this coaching staff here? You're like, oh, yeah, I know that guy from here and this guy from there. And he's new,
Like Coach Polamalu, Coach Frazier, we've all been in the league for a long time. And, you would have thought we've been, closer with those guys or had worked with those guys, and never have. Just, been at, games and introducing, meeting guys here and there and spending time together. And then a lot of these younger guys that a lot of people have been bragging on for a while, which is pretty cool too. So
yeah, real quick, sorry, Bob. Kennedy Pola and I, Polamalu,
yeah,
went to we had a recruiting trip together at Notre Dame. when I was in high school. Yeah, that's how long I've known that dude. That
no
he was a
way.
Fullback. So anyway, just my point is that, you know, in football.
Troy's uncle.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you always
cool.
know somebody through something.
Yeah.
There's always a way to connect the dots.
Yeah.
Hey, so you're talking about having that conversation with an agent saying, well, that was more expensive than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Do you set a number in mind? Like, we need to be X amount of dollars under the cap to build the team we want to build. Like,
yeah,
you
we
go
budget,
in with a number in mind,
sure.
but then you have a conversation and go, well, that didn't really fit with the budget we
set. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
you know, Thomas does a great job of budgeting kind of around the corner, too, because he knows we want to try to continue to build our team. We want to have some flexibility at the trade deadline. You know, we want to be able to set up, you know, roster, you know, per game roster bonuses, incentives. You have to be careful with all that stuff. So, you know, you have to incorporate that into, you know, the position, you know, what your specific needs are, what the draft board looks like, you know, how you think, you know, how you're going to like build your team. I think we've talked about this before, you know, people talk about roster construction and that sort of thing. You don't just start with a clean slate. You know, it's like, yeah, of course, you know, I want a left tackle. That sounds great. Go get, now we're going to get a pass rusher. Okay. Then we're going to get a corner. Oh, we need a corner. We don't have a quarterback. We should have started with that, right? It's like this. It's a constant flow. It's like constantly going around, and it depends on what kind of decisions we're making, but it also depends on, you know, decisions that other people are making. You know, other teams, like we saw today already, you know, people are paying people at specific positions that, you know, maybe higher than what we anticipated. Sometimes it's lower, but and then that affects people that we're negotiating with right now.
But then you go back and readjust your number.
Yeah, you have to say yes, like, yes. You have to constantly adjust it, and then say, okay, well, all right, we're gonna jump in with Bob, but that means we're probably not gonna be able to offer Dave right now because we're gonna need some time to go by, and Dave might, you know, think he's worth $12 million a year, and it's gonna take him time to realize that. You know, he's you know, not going to be in that area, and then it'll come closer to, you know, the area that we were more comfortable with. You know, two of our biggest free agent signings ever were Cliff Averill and Michael Bennett, and that was really, truly exactly what happened. We stayed in contact, you know, with the agents. We had great relationships with them. You know, we kept having conversations like, you know, where are you at? They stayed with us. They stayed with us. And then at a certain point, both Michael and Cliff were like, hey, well, we'd rather go to – Seattle and you know, play with you know, play for Pete Carroll and DQ and those guys than, you know, wherever they were being recruited at the time. I forget.
$12 million, maybe if I live to like 104.
That's right.
Might be my earnings. hey, so also I know when you guys write, you do the draft, you start filling in these boards, and I know you have like a wall, and you put the magnets in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that, I mean, how do you keep track of, for you, is it just easy to do, or is it like when you've got each position to fill, like, how are we going to do this one? How are we going to do that one? Is that something that you like have to write down, or you have it on a board somewhere, or is it like constantly changing, and is it something?
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because we have a lot of boards in the building. You know, I have one in my office that I'm constantly, you know, working through in terms of needs, or, you know, I have all kinds of different stuff. Like, you know, I just read it a certain way. You know, Matt Berry, Trent, Nolan, Willie, the whole group does a great job in the draft room when we've put our draft board together. It's on our computer system as well, and then, you know, with free agency as well, so you can get in. We can go into the system and see what the, you know, where the grades are and how we have those boards and how that's adjusted and everything. But when I got back from the combine, I was telling Mike, you know, like Pete and I, like Pete had his board up in his room. I had my board up, and we would just like go between offices and then like special teams and, you know, the draft room, all this kind of stuff. And like our board in particular for our team, you know, it was easy for Pete and I. We'd just be in each other's offices to be discussing that. And I was like, Mike, they got to get a board up in there for you. And he's like, I don't really, do we need boards all over the place?
You're like, you don't want a board?
He's like 36 years old. He's like, can't we just put it on a computer? Like, you know, can't you just like put it on a piece of paper? I got it in my head, you know?
John's
like,
feeling old at that point.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, good point. Whatever you want to do, man.
Whatever works for you.
The room is I'm very visual, and the group is as well. And so we, you know, over the years, we've really taken the stuff that, you know, that Ron Wolf and, you know, all the guys, Ted Thompson and that group that we've built over the years. And so the room looks like that. And then we had the COVID year, you know, they built that at my house, like right when we walked in the door, it was all like that too.
Yeah.
So, cause you can just see everything, and I'm better at that than like, you know, jumping from that screen to that screen.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, today I was at McDonald's over there, and they have the whole, like, technical, you got to do the menu thing.
Yeah, I don't like
that. And then, you know what I did? I went and got back in my car, and I went through the drive-thru. Because, yeah.
But that's what he said. I did it at the airport in Indianapolis. Did you? Same thing. I was like, I just want to go stand in line.
Yeah, but, I mean, look, you have to adapt to that part of it. But, like,
yeah,
like I was saying earlier, I remember, you know, you had that notebook that you kept. And
yeah, that's different. That's journaling, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's cool that you do that. Now, how often do you go back and read those every year before the draft?
Before the draft, for sure. I still have to go back. I have to do some things, you know, since the season ended. We've just been going nonstop here. So there's a lot of things that I have to still get down, you know, because it's therapeutic, but it's also like lessons for, you know, whoever wants to use it, you know, at a certain point.
Hey, Leonard Williams was a guy you guys spent a second-round pick on to bring him over here, and seemed like he's not playing that glamour position where you're racking up stats.
Yeah.
How do you think he played, and are you feeling good about the chances of bringing him back? Or?
Yeah, he played great. You know, we're excited. We're trying to get him back. We'd love to have him back. He's definitely he's definitely a priority for us. You know, you know, we're in the negotiations right now, and that's, you know, the agents know how we feel, and so we're trying to retain him, no doubt. You know, we gave up that second round pick. We went for it. We thought that you know, he was going to help change our defense, and he played well. Unfortunately, we didn't make the playoffs, but he's a guy that we want to, like, you know, keep in the mix, and you can move him around. He can play 3, 5, 9. You can play him wherever you want, and he's a great guy. He likes it here. I had a great exit interview with him. And, yeah, we hope to retain him.
Tell us about the exit interviews that you have with players at the end of the year.
Yeah, it's basically describing, you know, what free agency looks like and that pie that I talked to you guys about. And I've been using Madden a lot lately, you know, because of the Madden game. You know, I'm like, I'm trying to describe this like pie, and you only have so much, and you get it. And then now the last couple of years, I'm like, well, you play Madden, right? Yeah, so it's like, it's kind of like you only get a certain amount of money, and you have to, like, try to, like, put your team together. Yeah,
this is how they relate to
it. Yeah, and I'm like, you can't have John Randall and Leon Lett. You got to make a decision.
And they said who?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, you can't have Aaron Donald and, you know, Chris Jones. Yeah, so, no, it's describing to them, like, what the process is going to look like, and that it's never, you know, personal. It's never. We've all gone through negotiations. I don't think I've ever met anybody that's gone through a negotiation that was like, you know, wow, that was amazing for both sides. You know, and so it's all about, like, kind of setting the expectations for them and letting them know that you know where they stand. You know, we all want to know where we stand. You know, in an organization, and if we can't tell them, letting them know, like, okay, well, at a certain date, we hope to be able to tell you what, you know, have more clarity on what this is going to look like for you moving forward. And so that depends, you know, it depends on the position. And obviously there's certain positions that get paid more than others. So there's certain priorities on that, but yeah, it's kind of setting up the negotiation. Really. It's letting guys know, like, hey, like, we've all been through a negotiation, you know, you're going to get an offer and you're going to be like, wow, I thought we were in the trust tree.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I thought we were in the nest.
Are we not? We're not.
I thought we were. Yeah. Yeah. So in that, you know, sometimes they go smooth. Sometimes they're not so smooth. But what I've learned over the years is, like, if you just, like, you know, hit it, like, right on and not try to avoid the conflict, it's going to be much better in the end.
Is there any reluctance on your part to develop friendships with these guys because you're going to come to a point where they're going to be free agents and they don't get the offer they want, or maybe you release somebody that you've developed a closeness to? Is it?
Yes.
Because that's going to be hard.
That's a great question. And, you know, when I started here, I always said I wanted to do it a specific way. I wanted to be, you know, down in the locker and around the guys and all that kind of stuff that did initially. And then, you know, that closeness, that there is a separation there. And, you know, Coach Carroll and the coaches are with those guys every single day. And that's just not my role.
Yeah.
Now, I do want them to be able to feel like they can come to me and ask me for advice about career stuff and, like, or what they need to do, or what, you know, what if they're having, you know, an issue, like, with communication with a coach, or, you know, there's, like, you know, the normal things. But yeah, that's something that's not easy, but there definitely is a separation. I mean, at some point, you know, somebody has to say yes, somebody has to say no.
Yeah, and I think that's when you get kind of like a cut down day. That part's really hard for you, right? I mean, that's where you get kind of crabby, because you got these guys that you love, and you know that kind of relationship. That's got to be one of the more challenging things.
Yeah, these are not like, you know, yesterday is not, you know, those, like, you know, even if you try wrapping your mind around it, it's still not, you know, you always have to put yourself in somebody else's position, and that's not, you know, I mean, that's not fun. That's not but that's what, you know, I mean, that's what, look, like, you know, my job is to do what's best for the Seattle Seahawks organization. Yep. As Mo Kelly says, period, point blank. Period, point blank. And so, I have to keep wrapping my mind around that and trying to communicate effectively.
Do you feel like you're done, or we could see more of those kind of things in the future, in the near future?
I hope to be done. Yes.
Yeah.
We hope to be done.
Yeah. Hey, I'm sorry. Really quick. Coaches right now, everything filled out, good to go.
Yeah, wearing name tags upstairs. You know, the stickers on the top of your helmet with your name on it. You know,
that's right.
I was like, man, this is unbelievable. You know, it's cool. It's fun. Like learning. You know, just getting to know people and listening to them. We had a cool session today. We did a little film study and just listening to people talk and listening to the different opinions and, you know, the first blush.
Really?
Yeah, like understanding, you know, how people feel about certain positions and players. And, yeah, it's going to be fun.
Is it the whole staff, or are you just talking offense, defense, special teams?
Well, that's a little specific, Dave.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, no, it's it was a position group. Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Hey, before we let you go, obviously the coaching staff didn't go to the combine, but that wasn't unique. I mean, Shanahan didn't go.
Yeah, I think
go.
It's McCarthy going that way.
Do you think that's going to be the future?
What's going to happen is, yeah, great question. I think what's going to happen is people are going to go down, you know, coaches, like for the interviews, spend time, you know, maybe the guys do their media stuff, some interviews, and then leave. Maybe have the position coaches down there doing some interviews, and then leaving after that. But the weekend, I mean, like from Thursday night till Sunday it seemed like a really long time. And so, you know, I was talking to one team talked to the general manager yesterday. It's like, yeah, I think the guys are just going to split like as soon as they're done with their interviews, and that makes sense. But you know, part of it too is kind of like, you know, we have all the interviews on the Zooms anyway. You know, on our iPads that we record for the coaches and for all of us, we can go to, you know, we go to your library and open it up, and you can see all the different interviews in there, from the Senior Bowl to the East-West game to the combine to the combine interview room with, you know, our room. And then also when our coaches start Zooming, they'll be in there as well, so you can just pull all of them and try to piece them all together. So I don't know. It's interesting though, because it used to be really packed, right, with all the coaches, and you know, you worry about guys showing up for meetings in the morning because it gets to be really late
night.
So, yeah, we'll see how it goes, but it's definitely changed.
We're going to be talking to you next week from Arizona, so we won't be in person. So do you want to get somebody proper sitting in front of you so that you're not
It'll
distracted?
Just be Dave?
Yeah. It'll be up to him to keep you focused?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
Hopefully not. I apologize. I was not focused. I was not ready for that call.
You were great. You were great.
As long as you're not on a bed. You know,
yeah, that was awkward. That was a little
sitting
awkward.
Sitting across someone on a bed. So, just a chair. That'll work.
Yeah.
John, we appreciate you.
Yeah, have a great evening,
Thanks.
You guys.
Hear Wyman and Bob every afternoon, 2 to 7.